This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Sometimes you wonder how much it's going to take for the national narrative to change about Manny Machado.
Yeah.
I've got to think that if anyone was paying attention last night and saw what he did for his team, with his team, in that dugout moment when he gathered them all together, something that you don't generally see in baseball.
You didn't hear the Rosenthal preamble to
I did
it.
Not.
So the Rosenthal preamble was like, you know, Manny Machado is much maligned, you know, was dirty player, this, that, and the other, right? That's how he starts off this, you know, it was like basically bread, meat, bread. He went meat, bread, meat, essentially. And was, you know, talking a little smack and then said, this is a great moment. And then Joe Davis just goes like this. He goes, when they came back, he goes, and then it was, yeah, and Manny's not, this is not typical, you know, but it kind of comes with the territory. It comes with the territory of being a highly paid player. You know, you need to be a leader. It was very, you know, very backhanded. You know, it's just, it's never going to be, look what this guy does on a daily basis. Look how consistent his numbers are. Look how good he is defensively. And now look at what a leader he is. You know, playing with one arm, essentially. I mean, Freddie Freeman hurt his ankle, and you would have thought the guy just got back from Vietnam. Like, literally, from Vietnam, purple heart. I've never seen anything like this. They called it, when he stole that base, Joe Davis called it, you missed this, they called it his Kirk Gibson moment. Ben, I was so incensed on Friday night, I was about to jump out the window.
Did they not say the same thing about Xander Bogaerts yesterday?
They did not say that, man. They did not say that.
Who was literally hobbling around the bases after a home run at Dodger Stadium?
Yes.
An actual Kirk Gibson moment.
Bro.
But okay.
So you get the backhanded thing from Rosenthal. Again, the narrative about Manny will always be the narrative. And we do see it amongst our own fan base as well sometimes. He's just been, all you can do in life is just be better. Right, you don't have to be defined by the mistakes of your past, and can you be better today than you were yesterday? Manny is a perfect example of that. He is such a better leader than he was at 21 years old. Yes, you're right. At 21, that dude was intense. Him and the Josh Donaldson thing, intense. Him and Yordan Ventura, intense. Guy doesn't like getting thrown at. Now he doesn't like his teammates getting thrown at. And he knew damn well, he has been around the game long enough to know damn well that Jack Flaherty, who had not missed like that all night, plunked Fernando Tatis Jr., who had hit a home run and, you know, stared at it. He knew exactly what he was doing. Jack Flaherty knows he's about to get pulled out of the game. What does he care if he puts a guy on first base? He doesn't. So he absolutely knew, and he didn't like it. He took exception to it and told him.
I was sitting out in the left field bleachers, and I could even feel from that far away how badly Manny then, after Profar bunt singled, and Manny has a chance to come through and wanted, you know, long at bat, working the count full.
Dude, you see the respect he gave? You probably couldn't see it. So it was a really good pitch by Flaherty on the outside corner. Might have been a hair low. And I mean a hair. And they called it a ball. And Smoltz was like, look, he's probably going to go out there again, and he probably is going to get Manny. And he did. And so Manny nodded. He just was like, okay, like, the ultimate sign of respect, like, you got me. And he walked back to the dugout, and then Flaherty starts jawing from the mound. And
you could read his lips pretty clearly. We can't say what.
I can. What. I'll say, go sit down, mother trucker, and essentially is what he said. And it was, Manny was like, wait. Manny said he didn't even hear it, but everybody else heard it. Jackson Merrill then comes up off of Anthony Banda, hits that single, gets to first base, looks in the dugout, goes, I got you. I was like, give me a break with this kid. He's 21 years old.
This is Jackson Merrill.
It was unbelievable.
I talked to Jackson in the clubhouse after the game, asked him about that moment. And, you know, Manny so often is the guy who has got everybody else. When, you know, something happens, he comes up. Think about Jurickson Profar and Jesse Winker, and then Manny comes up and hits the home run.
Kiebert Ruiz, you know. You know,
Manny's always the guy, so it meant a lot to Jackson that he could be that guy in that moment to step up and pick up Manny, who doesn't need being picked up very often, but everyone's got everyone's back in that clubhouse, in that dugout, and you can certainly feel it with this team, that there is a camaraderie, there's a brotherhood that is not always there in team sports. Didn't really feel it last year, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's not a guarantee that they're going all the way, but it certainly helps your cause in a postseason like this. You know, when moments, they're going to be tough moments. And I also want to say, because Manny's leadership has been, you know, we're talking about that. I want to give Xander Bogaerts a lot of credit.
Yeah.
You know, he spent a lot of time, we were talking with him before the game, and he made the point and said, in the playoffs, you're going to suffer heartbreaking losses.
I love that.
It's the nature of the postseason, and it's how you bounce back and respond to them. No team, I believe, has ever, at least in the, certainly in the wild card era, just gone through and won every postseason game. And pretty much every loss in the postseason feels devastating, feels like potentially this is it, this is the end of your season. You have to be able to then come back the next day and put that loss behind you. Even the best of teams, they're going to suffer a tough loss somewhere in the postseason. And Xander, with that playoff experience and the World Series rings, and one of the reasons he was signed by the Padres to come in is for playoff moments. And he's come in and he's performed in this postseason for the San Diego Padres. Yep. Really important leadership from Xander.
No question, man. And, you know, just going back to the fact that, yeah, you can be together as you want. It doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't guarantee you wins and losses. One thing you can be assured of, though, and I think we kind of see that, the lack of quit in this team is just in them now. It's just ingrained in who they are. The fact that if they do lose, it won't be from a lack of effort. It won't be from them being selfish, right? You see that sometimes, trying to do too much, trying to have a big me moment instead of a big we moment. That's not going to happen with this team. I'm not, again, not saying they're going to run the table here or even get out of this series with a win. But it won't be from a lack of effort. It will not be from anything other than they got beat on a baseball field. You know, that's it, which happens. Happens to the greatest teams of all time. But they are an inspiring bunch, certainly. And you saw that move last night, Paulie. I'm glad you brought it up, bringing them together and telling them to stay focused. And then, listen, man, two quick outs in that inning, and then Manny comes up, the single, then the home run. We're off and running. There's the ball game right there. So a really important moment last night in a series of important moments. So many guys stepped up. Jackson Merrill, Yu Darvish, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Kyle Higashioka, and on we go. Jerkson Profar, Fernando Tatis Jr. twice. Ridiculous night.
I'm glad you brought up that single in the eighth inning, because after the two quick outs, there was a sense of Dodgers fans stirring again. Like, okay, we get Manny out here. We're still in this game. You know, our big boys are going to have one more shot probably coming up. If we get either of those guys on in the eighth inning, Otani's going to come up, maybe with a chance to tie the game if they're both on. And they started a Manny sucks chant.
Yeah.
And just like it was just starting to gain some traction. And then he just ropes a single to center. And then it got quiet again. And then Jackson Merrill hit the home run. And that's when they really started streaming for the exits. At that point, it was a huge moment. Don't kid yourself. If that's a three-run game going into the bottom of the eighth inning, the Dodgers feel like we still have a really good chance.
Big
once
time.
Once Jackson made it 6-1, they knew at that point it would take something historic for them to come back, and they didn't have it in them last night. And then, of course, the Padres just piled on with the Xander home run, with the Higashioka home run. What about Kyle?
He's been incredible.
I talked to him after the game as well. You know, just locked,
what was
locked
his heart,
in right now.
What was his heartbeat? 80, 81?
I'm not even
69.
Sure if he was actually alive when I talked to him.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Excited.
I love him so much.
I do too. It's good.
So happy for him.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Very excited.
I'm actually brimming with excitement right now, this very moment.
This is the greatest moment of my life.
You know what? I'm kind of glad there's someone like that on the team. There's plenty of fiery, passionate players.
Yeah.
Kyle is the steady Eddie of the group.
Love
and
him, man.
If you're going to pick a steady Eddie, catcher is probably the place where you want your steady Eddie to be. Not your hot-headed Caber Ruiz behind the plate, but have your steady Eddie back there, and that's what Kyle Higashioka has been.
Well, and just remember this, man. As great as it was last night, it's over, right? That moment is over. You can use that emotion certainly in the next game. You're not going to need it. You're going to have 47,000 Padres fans going absolutely buck wild tomorrow night and doing it the right way. That's my hope, at least, is, you know, we handle ourselves with a little bit more dignity, and don't do anything dumb. And, I'll have an address. I've written a, State of the Union at 8 that I will read for, Padres fans out there this morning.
Do not stoop down to their level.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. So I think, it's over. You got that win. You got that split you needed. You got to refocus, figure it out. I loved what Manny did because it did make them refocus and say, hey, man, this was gnarly and it was exciting and everything else, but you can't let it spin you out. You know, if you lose focus in the playoffs, you're toast. And they did not. They actually regathered their focus and took it to them.
Also want to quickly mention, because I saw them both in the clubhouse after the game, Ha-Sung Kim and Joe Musgrove, who neither of whom are going to get to appear anymore in this postseason for the San Diego Padres.
Joe this morning.
Yeah, I mean, since we were last on in the morning on Friday, it was later in that day that we found out the official news that Joe is getting Tommy John surgery, won't be returning, won't be able to see Joe next year likely as well. But, of course, he is right there with his guys and, you know, doing what Joe does with his leadership as well. And Ha-Sung Kim, who was out there pregame, he's out at first base. I mean, you know, he's taking throws from everybody, trying to be as much a part of this as he possibly can. Those are two guys who have been integral parts of the team.
Yep.
For the last, you know, four seasons plus that are there. They can't play, but they're not going anywhere. And, you know, they're still as much a part of this as anybody else. And you don't want to take anything away from either of those guys and what they've done.
No doubt.
All right. We're just going to skip. No take on Woods today. We got a prize to give away. We actually have some Sublime tickets that we'll give away later in the program. But we're not going to play our game. We've got plenty more to get to. Now, Don't Do This is next. And I would like to hear, because I couldn't hear any of the TV broadcast when I was at Dodger Stadium of either of the two games. Saw your comments out there, Padres fans.
I can't tell if you're lucky or missed out.
Yeah, I can't either. I had a million people.
I want to get your thoughts, though, Woods and Paul, on what it sounded like listening to the TV broadcast.
I can tell you what it sounded like, but I think we'd get kicked off the air.
Yeah, I had a million people screaming at me, just sync your radio, and I said, I can't. After what happened 3 minutes into the game, I go, well, good job, Joe Davis. You got me.
Well, I know Jesse and Tony are doing a great job, but I think in your role, it's important for you to hear what the other people are saying.
I also can't decide if I wish I didn't, or if I'm glad I did, or I wish I didn't. It may be a little of both.
It feels like Don't Do This is the right place to address that. So let's get to that coming up next, right after Kelly's traffic. More with Ben and Woods on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, also known as the segment in which we discuss the television broadcast of the Padres-Dodgers series and their announcers on Fox, Joe Davis and John Smoltz. And again, I did not get to hear really a second of it. I saw Smoltz yesterday briefly as I walked in. Does anyone like John Smoltz, really? He must have some friends in baseball, but all I see
is negative
comments.
Atlanta. I bet Adam loves it.
Incessantly.
Adam's not going to like this segment.
He's not.
I do think, you know, I know what you've said about Joe in the past. Kind of boring. I think if he was just calling a random, you know, a Twins against Brewers game, he'd do a fine job.
Yeah.
Very competent broadcaster.
Like, it's like I said on Friday. It's not a Dodger thing with him.
Right.
I've never really enjoyed pukers. And pukers. He's a puker. A puker is the guy that talks like this with an effect on his voice, and he does it like this. I like broadcasters that sound real. Real. And
Uncle Teddy was as real as it gets. Jesse's, man, very real 100%. When it comes to that. But there's a lot of baseball, that style exists. I listen to some of the other games on the radio, and there are a lot of announcers who are like that. 2-2 pitch coming in. It's kind of, you hear Vin Scully growing up, and he did it well, but no one can really be Vin Scully
anymore.
Well,
that's the thing, is everyone, and just be yourself, you know? And I know that Joe Davis doesn't talk like that when he's at home. He's not talking to his kids to get your shoes tied and get in the car, and we are off to school. That's not how you talk.
Now I want to do that.
Adam's in our chat. I have a picture of me in second grade getting John Smoltz's autograph.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I couldn't have admired a guy's pitching career more than I did John Smoltz. He was a bulldog. And then how great was John Smoltz later? He goes to another team and he's like, "You need me to close? All right, I'll close." I mean, badass. He's a badass MF-er, dude. He gets on these broadcasts, though, and you're like, why do you hate the game that you're calling so much? Why is it so much better back in your day? And but, you know, for me, Benny, it started and stopped. Should we have a little bit of grace towards Joe Davis? Because, again,
I do feel like they put him in an impossible situation.
He's in an impossible situation.
Just like I think Don would be in an impossible situation if they asked him to call a Padres playoff game but told him, but don't show any bias toward the Padres.
Right, play it down the middle. How can you
But
not?
I work for the Padres. Right. I travel with them. I know these guys. How can you take out that inherent bias? It's impossible.
It's like asking us to go down the middle on something like that. There's just no way, man. There's no way. So I guess I have a bit of grace for him there, but holy crap, man. It was like he had a list of narratives, excuses, all of it. So right when the game starts, you know, Manny hits the 3-run bomb, and he sounds devastated. I mean, it was like, in comparison to the Shohei homer that you'll hear, is insane.
So here's Manny Machado.
1-2 from Yamamoto. Got a fastball over the plate, lifted it to deep left center field, and it is gone! Manny Machado with a 2-run home run, and the Padres with 3 in the first.
Now, I actually don't know that you would get a lot of criticism from that.
If this play had not happened.
Exist. That was a fine call for a national broadcast. Then Ohtani ties the game later, and strap in.
2-1. There's a drive! It's a bullet! Was there any doubt? Shohei Ohtani arrives in October with a 3-run home run!
The other one for me is when he hit a broken bat flare to center field. He can do no wrong!
Did he literally say that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
Adrian Morahone destroyed his bat.
Destroyed it. It's a great pitch.
That's called getting lucky.
Well, and Merrill, you know, you have to play on the wall because it's Shohei Ohtani. You're playing as deep as you can get. I mean, he broke his bat, flared it in the center, and it was just like, oh, my God. Freddie Freeman, again, made the point earlier, Ben. I know he's got a rough ankle. He came out and started stroking balls all over the field. I thought, is this guy even hurt? I mean, it was ridiculous. He was playing so well. He's such a good player. Then when he had the steal and he said that's his Kirk Gibson moment, it was just constant. It didn't stop the entire night, man. The entire night. It was third inning stolen base, down 2 runs in game 1 of the NLDS. And he's saying it was his Kirk Gibson moment. He, 2/3 of an inning into the first, he said, the Dodgers are underdogs. He said it again last night.
I called that one.
I called it.
I called it, too.
We both called it.
And it's still silly.
2/3 of one effing inning is what I tweeted, the underdog bit. Again, then Shohei comes up, hits the bomb, and I said, this is why you can never be considered an underdog. You have the best player on the planet. There's Adam with John Smoltz. Which one's Adam?
I'm guessing he's the one in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's him in the middle.
I've never seen him with hair. One picture I've seen him with hair.
Is that Adam's like little brother that John Smoltz is holding?
Look at John Smoltz's Cosby sweater that he's wearing. It is so bad, dude. A Cosby sweater. So it was pretty gnarly. And then, you know, this is not his fault. You didn't see the graphic. The graphic. Shohei Ohtani.
I heard people talking about it.
In
though.
Eight more batters, he will be coming up in eight more batters.
He's got it up on our screen.
The
three,
graphic.
Three batters away, Shohei Ohtani.
Massive, like huge graphic.
Taking
like,
up the whole
what
right
is going on here, man? So anyway, dude, it was pretty gnarly. Now I will say this: my buddy, who's a Dodger fan, texted me. Goes, you got to admit, he's playing it a little bit more down the middle tonight. I said, yeah, he is, but you'll hear kind of these subtle little digs. He did a whole bit on Tatis and, you know, all the things he's done to himself. And it's just, it's never just celebration of a great player. It is always something to the effect, a little bit of a backhanded dig. But again, man, like Jeff Passan told us on Twitter, if you don't want to be a little brother, don't act like a little brother, which was great. I thought of Jeff Passan. I was going to tweet at him, and I go, no, I respect Jeff Passan too much, but he'll be on this show in 3 minutes or like 5 minutes.
And if you have anything to say to Jeff, you can do so in our YouTube stream chat or by tweeting us at Ben and Woods. We are going to convey some of those messages to Jeff when he joins us, and he is ready for it. He is willing to hear it. From Padres fans this morning. That's why he's coming on.
The other thing I thought about Smoltz, and I tweeted this as well, our guys do such a good job of letting the game breathe sometimes. There is no breath. It feels like he did a huge rail of crystal meth right before the game, and he's just like, bah, 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 bah. Relax, let it eat a little bit. You're calling it on TV. You're not on radio, right, Benny? The TV is the star. You're watching the stars and letting every pitch, every grip, every ball in the dirt, every way the catcher's framing it, every swing, let it breathe just a little bit. Does that make sense?
It does. What did he say about Yamamoto's struggles early? Because he certainly looked, I mean, that first inning with all the balls in the dirt and everything, and obviously the Dodgers came back and did win game one, but they're starting pitching. And those were their two, like, more reliable starters that they threw in the first two games, Yamamoto and Flaherty. Now they're digging more into, like, the hope zone of their rotation with a Buehler who has not been Buehler coming back and Landon Knack possibly in game four. That's the guys that they were more worried about. And even the guys that they felt better about did not perform well on the big stage in the first two games of the series.
Albert says, come on, Woods, you critiquing another broadcaster. Buddy, I'm not calling play-by-play. I'm not calling play-by-play. By the way, I wouldn't do it with a gun to my head. I'm terrible at it.
And it's part of our job to do that as well.
I am the first one to tell you.
And I will say, we'll see. Sometimes, you know, the home crowd can influence the excitement of a broadcaster. I would hope, though, that that'll be turned on its ear at Petco Park, and the big moments for the Padres will be the ones that are screamed, and the big moments for the Dodgers will be called a little more down the middle. I suspect that won't necessarily be the case, but I guess we'll find out. And that is Don't Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've got Jeff Passan, who is going to join us. ESPN's legendary MLB insider. His request, he wants to talk to you, Padres fans.
Yeah, talk Clippers basketball.
That's with possibly basketball as well. New NBA insider, perhaps, Jeff Passan. Coming up next, don't go anywhere, on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Woods, I want to get right to our special guest.
Very special guest.
Very special guest, because honestly, he's the reason why I've got to be an ESPN Plus subscriber.
Yeah.
I'd be so sad if I clicked on one of his pieces and all of a sudden I get like three paragraphs and then it goes, click here to subscribe. So I have to get his stuff. He actually has a free unlocked piece this morning on yesterday's walk-off winner for Nick Castellanos, and you can read it at ESPN.com. He is obviously the number one insider in baseball. Of course, I am talking about ESPN's Jeff Passan, who is joining us right now here on Ben and Woods in San Diego. Jeff, good morning. It is great to have you on the program.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you buttering me up before taking me out at the knees.
Oh, no. I'm almost uncomfortable with some of these comments that we've collected for you. I don't know how we can even repeat them, so
I'll start.
Oh, I hope you get. I first need to. I need to thank Darren Smith for
making 100%
connection. Darren is the man, and while I did not go on with him often, and I'm sorry, Marty Caswell, for saying no as many times as I did, I always enjoy talking baseball with him because he knows the game, and we could have like what I thought were really intelligent conversations about baseball and where it is and where it's going and how it all ties back to San Diego. And trust me, there will be a lot of San Diego love, at least from my end, coming out in this conversation.
Well, I've got just one question. It's right from our YouTube chat, Jeff. The question is, Jeff, how dare you? How dare you? Your tweet on Friday night about Saturday night about little brother. And what did you say? Uh-huh. If you don't want to be treated like a little brother, don't act like one. And I saw it. I was all over Twitter that night. I ignored it. I ignored you. That's how much I respect it. I said, I'm not even going to wade in. I love Jeff Passan too much to do it. So explain yourself.
There's no explanation necessary. It's just the truth. And here's the problem, guys. Here's the problem. This team is not a little brother. Of what I have seen so far this postseason, I think the Padres are the best team left, actually. They have Michael King, and they have Yu Darvish, and they have Dylan Cease, and even without Musgrove, they have more pitching than Cleveland and Detroit. Let me go over the teams here. Probably more than the Mets, probably more than the Yankees, maybe more than the Royals, not quite with the Phillies, and absolutely more than the Dodgers. As we saw with their lineup last night, they hit 6 home runs in a playoff game. They have stars at the top and guys who are going to be stars in the middle, and a catcher who's a 9-hitter and has 3 home runs in 4 games. They can catch the ball. They are managed well. They're a really, really good team that is the epitome of not little brother. I think beyond that, and is it okay if I go on like a little bit of a soapbox
here? Absolutely, and, yes. And then okay. I'm going to retort, but go ahead.
All right. I wanted to talk to San Diego because I want to like further illustrate what I'm talking about. And I think what has made this rhetoric trading on my end is that I genuinely do not think of the fans that way either. Now, I haven't been to Petco since the Revolution. I don't know if you guys read Alvin Gonzalez. If you don't, you should.
We do.
He's really good.
Saw him yesterday. Yep.
Covers the National League West. He writes great stories. He's phenomenal. What I've seen, though, and what I've been told by people who go there, is that outside of Citizens Bank Park and maybe inclusive of Petco Park is the best environment in baseball right now. And that, to me, illustrates that this team and these fans have gone through a wonderful evolution and grown this fan base and become the team of a city that I genuinely love. And that's the truth. I got married in La Jolla. I have no connection to San Diego other than I am a carpetbagger for like good weather and good restaurants and good vibes. And when I like a city, I wish it well, because I grew up in Cleveland, guys. I know what it's like to not have any championships. It's the worst. And what you do as a sporting fan in a city when you haven't won championships is you start looking at your teams like they're precious things, because they are. And when we have precious things, we do everything we can to defend them. And when what's special to us personally is out there, like, we have to recognize it may not be the same to everyone. And my job, right, like, my job is trying to figure out what interests the largest percentage of the baseball watching population. And as much as I try, and truth be told, I probably try too hard, I cannot be everything to everyone. You guys have really good and diligent reporters in Dennis Lynn and Kevin Acey and AJ Cassavell. And you have shows like this that treat the Padres like what they should be, a team that can carry sports talk radio conversation. And at the end of the day, guys, here's what you have over everyone, and I mean like everyone else at this point. San Diego is a baseball town. There are not a lot of baseball towns left. Like, St. Louis is a baseball town. I think New York maybe, and then Chicago maybe, Boston maybe, Cincinnati maybe. San Diego is undoubtedly a baseball town. And that right there should be enough to understand that all of these things others have called you in the past, that they don't apply now. So stop acting like it.
Sure. That's well said, man. And I'm talking to Jeff Passan here on Ben and Woods, and I'll retort just a little bit. I think, you know, what it, that didn't bother me. Like, you admiring Shohei Ohtani and his home run did not bother me at all. When I think the national media perpetuates, which you kind of did, the little brother narrative, it definitely stings. And I think, you know, turnabout being fair play, we have more success in the postseason than the recent Dodgers do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've taken it to them. And I think what we don't see a lot of is that same sentiment about the Dodgers and their failures in the postseason on a national level. We hear a lot about the Padres. Uh-huh. We don't see a lot. All we hear in our Fairburg is, oh my God, what a move. Oh my God, Andrew Friedman. Oh my God, every move they make is so good. They haven't had a postseason starter go more than five innings since last night for like 16 starts in a row. Mookie Betts hasn't had a hit in 3 years or something. Uh-huh. And all we hear is how great they are, how special they are. They choke. They choke. They're chokers. No one says it. Nobody. You don't, you know, Jesse Rogers doesn't. Nobody says it. Everybody just talks about Andrew Friedman, how brilliant he is, Dave Roberts, how great he is. Nothing. Nothing. And I think that's what kind of bugs us, too. Like, if you're going to get us and you're going to bang us with little brother, you got to get them a little bit, too. That's kind of all we're asking for, which may be a little bit of a little brother
thing.
Listen to what
you're doing now, though. Like, listen to what you're saying.
Sure.
You're saying the same thing that caused me to go on this in the first place, right? You are.
It's
just like, if you're gonna us, you gotta them. Like, I'm gonna take you through my thought process before I typed out the words "little brother," because I should have acknowledged that that's pretty loaded, Jeff. Like, if you're going to drop that nuke, like, you better have earned it, and you better be careful with it. I probably was not as much as I should have. But here's why it got me, because it reminded me of my son, and I love him so much. I do. I have a 17-year-old son, and I have a 12-year-old son. And when my 17-year-old son does something or gets to do something that the 12-year-old doesn't, the 12-year-old still says, "But why?"
Right.
And any sentence that starts with "but why" is a sentence that I don't want to hear finished, because I know it's going to be asking for equal time in equal ways. And I personally, like, you guys can sit here and call the Dodgers chokers all you want. I have too much respect for how difficult October baseball is to call anybody a choker, especially when you have teams that, like, change as much as they do year over year. Like, the Dodgers are not comprised of the same people they were 2 years ago, let alone five, let alone all these division titles that they haven't won. I will look at it and say that it has been an absolute failure by them to win championships.
Yeah, who's done less with more?
That.
Who's done less with more than them?
The New York Yankees.
With more?
Well, same.
Yeah,
least,
when
yeah.
we're talking payroll, the Yankees have been there. Who's done less with more talent-wise? Yeah, I think that's probably fair, actually. And that's reasonable. Like, so here's how I would like San Diego fans to look at this, because I, you know, despite what you see on Twitter, like, I think I am a pretty positive and optimistic and thoughtful person.
You are.
And going back to like how we want the world to see things that we hold dear, when someone comes in and says something that's like rude, sorry guys, but it may have a kernel of truth.
Right.
It kind of digs under your skin.
Of course.
Here's the kernel, right? Your team is not the little brother. Your fan base is not the little brother. But the segment of people who are looking for equal time with the Dodgers are exhibiting some little brother behavior there. And this will be hard to hear, but I screw it. I do that. The Dodgers guys have decades of history. They have Jackie Robinson. They have Sandy Koufax. They have the Duke. They have Drysdale and Fernando. And yes, even Kershaw. They have 6 World Series rings. The general interest in the Dodgers exceeds that of the Padres for now. And in the same vein, like, Ohtani's the biggest baseball star in the world. I'm going to post about him a lot. And I'm going to do the same with Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt and Jackson Merrill, who, like, by the way, I have addressed his awesomeness multiple times this season. And if Tatis keeps playing this way and the Padres have compelling games in advance and, like, make a deep run, I promise you that they will get the coverage and compliments that they have earned. And it's in the meantime, though, and this is where I wanted to get ultimately, you guys need to relish this.
We are.
There's something really wonderful going on in your town right now. And if others are not recognizing that to the level that they should, they're the ones who are missing out. Remember, if the Padres become like the national sensation, then your little secret, this thing that you obsess over day after day, will be different. And that's good, right? Like that's what you want. That's what you want for the players, for the team, for the city, like the love and recognition you believe they deserve. It is akin to the band that you knew before it blew up.
Of course.
When it goes big, you're happy that others got to hear them, but you're also proudest that you knew them before anyone else did.
Jeff, I want to add one thing. We got Jeff Passan on from ESPN, and I'm a lifelong San Diegan, and I understand. You explain that very well, where you're coming from. What I kind of want to push back on is that so many people in the national media look at San Diego and L.A., and they think, Southern California, that you're in the same family.
Uh-huh.
They're not. Uh-huh. Forget geography.
I know.
San Diego and Los Angeles are worlds apart. I felt it just, you know, driving back and forth from the games this weekend. It's just a different culture. It's as different as Boston and New York, maybe even more different. Honestly, you couldn't have two more different markets in baseball near each other, but we're not related. We're not brothers. Yeah, the Dodgers have had more resources, more success in their history. In that sense, they are more accomplished than the Padres. So, yes, the Padres have a lot of ground to make up on the Dodgers, but we're not in the same family at all.
Yeah.
Nope. At all. And I think people outside of Southern California don't realize that we're not this one big community. When the Chargers left San Diego for Los Angeles, it wasn't, oh, they're just going a few miles away. People love that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would be like the Boston Red Sox moving to New York.
Yeah.
No one would cheer for them anymore. It would be the biggest story in the history of sports if that happened. And that's, no one seems to understand that outside of our particular region, I feel.
I think that's reasonable. And I think that geography plays a big part in that. You know, when you're ignorant about a culture and an area, you tend to think that, well, I mean, like, guys, I live in Kansas. So you want to talk about the willingness and ability to stereotype. I do not live on a farm. You know, it's like that. But
you don't love corn in every single meal you eat?
No. I don't love corn. Like, no. Corn is too much corn. But I think a large segment of the population looks at California as one gigantic woke liberal entity. Right? Like, that is how California has been painted. So what difference is there between San Diego and Los Angeles? I can't sit here and suggest that the ignorance of people is anything that I would ever, like, be interested in spending my time trying to discern.
Sure.
Like, that's what this all goes back to. You guys have something great right now. So who gives a damn about anyone or anything else? It's like, I think the people of San Diego have an opportunity right now. You are going to have a primetime national television audience to sell Petco Park as being the best place to watch a baseball game in the world right now. I remember, like, over the past few years, seeing Citizens Bank Park become this. And that happened because of two things. The atmosphere there that you could see and you could almost feel, and a lack of incidents. What happened last night at Dodger Stadium was abhorrent.
Yeah.
And I don't care if Fernando Tatis is dancing or Jerickson Profar is tossing the ball into the stands, whatever, like, dumb excuse you want to make up. You don't throw anything at players. It is loser behavior. And, I worry about the Dodgers fan base being looked at as losers because the actions of few. That's what San Diegans need to avoid. Every group has its insecurities.
Oh, but of course.
The best thing you can do as fans is be loud the entire game. Do not take pitches off. Do not fight. Do not throw things. Yell all you want. Keep it clean. Be clever. Act like you've been there before and show the world that you have arrived, because you, as a fan base in San Diego, have earned the respect of everyone around the game for growing the way that you have.
That's really well said. And yeah, throwing stuff on the field and all that, that's truly, truly little brother behavior. Little brother behavior.
That is the truth. Hell yes, absolutely.
You're the man, dude. Thank you for coming on with us.
You're still getting roasted in our chat. Do you want some of these comments before you go?
Do I want it? I mean, listen. The one with me standing on the box yesterday,
that's your soapbox, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I will go after people, but what I
we have very clever listeners. We call them our tier ones. They're not all short jokes. Joey says Jeff Passan always looks low-key wet. I don't know if that's
like
just
your hair
product or what's going on there.
used to be more than that, but I've learned like the beauty of the blow dryer lately. So I'm not coming in quite as wet as I used to.
Jeff's been reading the headlines, or Jay's been reading the headlines. He says, "Hey Jeff, Shams would never diss Padres fans."
Oh, no! All right, you're staying in Major.
We can't lose you.
As mad as I was, I very much want you to stay in Major League Baseball. Very much. Just so you know, get that on record.
Fred, thank you. I appreciate that. For the record, 5'9", not a big guy. My 6'1" son, when he's feeling himself and when I ask him to do something like take out the trash, will stand over me.
Oh, my God.
Look down. And just say 5'9" and walk away. So trust me, guys, whatever you say to me, it cannot be as hurtful as your child emasculating you about your height. I am immune to everything else. So send your best at me. It will not be worse than that. And before I go, guys, Jesse Agler, the Incorporator, defenestrate.
We've exhausted the English language for Jesse, and he nails it every time.
I have backups.
Okay.
Promulent.
Okay, the fake Simpsons word. I love that one. That's a good one. We haven't done that one yet.
I like onomatopoeia. Could we do boing?
Boing.
Boing.
That's a great one. How about that? Boing.
Boing.
All right.
Jeff, thank you so much.
And then one in honor of the San Diego fan who originally came at me, nincompoop.
Nincompoop, thank you. You're the man,
all
dude.
In the
thanks
rotation now.
On.
Jeff, appreciate it.
We did do defenestration.
Yeah, oh, defenestration. Paul's got it for you.
I've got it if you want to hear it,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, check it quickly.
Please.
Philadelphia, of course, a beautiful and historic city, particularly when it comes to American history. It's Election Day here today. And politics in the state, very much a gloves-off kind of blood sport, as I guess it always has been. 1-2, reach for, poked up the middle to his left. The shortstop, Stott, has it, bobbles it, loses it, and Hosmer will reach to start the inning. Another one that could go either way in terms of infield hit or error, and it will be an infield single for Eric Hosmer. Leadoff man aboard for the Padres in the eighth inning. And it's not quite maybe the way it was in the 18th century here, with the defenestration of the British and the tarring and the feathering and all of that. But they still take it very, very seriously. All the news.
He's a legend. He's a legend. Thank you, man.
So good.
Thank you for
coming
on.
Thank you for having me
on. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it very much.
Can we have you on again at some point?
Hell yeah.
All right.
As long as you stay out of the NBA.
Good pressure.
No one,
like
no one here cares about the NBA.
Yeah, we do.
Just so you know.
You do. I mean, we know you do.
I love the G League. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it very much.
Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider and legendary guest this morning on Ben and Woods.
I loved that.
We went a little over our allotted time. Apologize to the powers that be. But we will come back. Woodsy's got his State of the Union in light of what has transpired over the weekend in Los Angeles. And with the National League Division Series coming to San Diego tomorrow, you need to hear what Woodsy has to say. That is coming up next. Don't go away. Ben and Woods continuing on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.